You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
Tech Fan Podcast number 505. I'm Tim Robertson, joined by David Cohen. Hello, David.
Hello.
We're getting lazy. I mean, 500 was way back in December. We've got five episodes in 4 months. That's not a great track record of...
It's not ideal, but then life happens.
It's been happening a lot lately, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is what it is, right?
Well, it's not like they're going to cut our salaries, is it?
No, and plus you've been busy with, you know, torsos being left near you.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, I really must get out later on today and get rid of the head and the legs.
Probably a good idea.
They're taking up space in the...
But there actually was a torso wrapped up in plastic and left near you.
Torso wrapped up in plastic, dumped in undergrowth not far from my house. So that was exciting.
First world problems.
Yeah. They've arrested somebody already. Because... I was talking about this to my mother yesterday, and I said, you know, if you're going to commit a crime that results in a body, and you need to dispose of the body... What you shouldn't really do is dispose of the body near where you live. Because, you know, it's obviously the police are probably going to get back to you. Sure enough, they've arrested somebody today. So, it's modern life, unfortunately, in cities. Is people kill people and then try and cover it up.
I mean, you know, I'm sure the person that was killed did something wrong, right?
Well, you're saying they had it coming. Probably. I mean, it's only a torso, so it's hard to tell. Did the torso have it coming, or was this more of a head problem?
Well, I mean, he left the torso behind, so obviously it was the head, the arms, and the legs. That was the problem.
Can you imagine he's got the head in a shell. He's still shouting at it for whatever it did.
Yeah, well, probably a relative, I would imagine.
In Salford, maybe not. It tends to be more acquaintances involved in the business of illicit substances, so that's probably more likely what it is.
It's a crazy world.
It unfortunately is. You know, it's a world of our own creation as well, which is even worse.
Well, that's why I like when people say, I don't trust the government. They're the government. They're us. There's no... secret cabal. It's us.
And in fact,
we're the ones that keep electing these people. And then you're like, people, why are they corrupt? I don't know. Yeah, let me think.
Well, not only that, the majority, I mean, those are the people at the top of government. The majority of people in the government, air quotes, are the civil servants who are just working schmoes like the rest of us. Yeah.
Yeah, they're just workers. They don't.
They're just doing their jobs. They are not Machiavellian.
They're not part of the system.
No, they're not twirling their moustaches as they plan to screw everybody over.
No. You know? They're just doing their job.
Yeah. Not like the people at the top of all the tech companies who are being sued now, who apparently are all twirling their moustaches for doing these horrible things.
I've been a long advocate, to be honest, that every level of government that's an elective official should have a term limit, every single one of them. And the problem is there's not enough of that. Which is how we get to the point where, at least in the U.S., we have, you know, two people who have one foot in the grave running for president of the United States. Like, really? That's the best we can do? This is it. It's unbelievable.
I would point out to you that we have an alternate system here where of the last three prime ministers we've had, two of them haven't been elected at all, except by... a group of party members.
Yeah, but one of them lasted about 5 minutes, to be fair.
It doesn't matter. They were still the party members that elected that person, and that person then proceeded to trash the economy in 3 weeks. So, still not saying. I mean, she did a lot of damage in those 40 days, put it that way.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah.
Oh, fun. Anyways, let's talk about some fun tech news like Roku. Look, they keep coming up in our stories here because, look, I really liked Roku for years. They were great. Yeah. Their software was fantastic. When I got my latest TV, maybe 4 years ago, I went out of my way to get a Roku because I just really, really liked it. I don't want to call it open, but it was compatible with everything.
Yeah.
And the interface was good, and I really liked it. I don't know what the hell happened to this company, because they are turning, quite honestly, evil. Now, the story that we covered a couple episodes ago was that people were turning on their Roku devices, and you had no choice but to accept that you could not sue them.
Yeah.
There was no way to use your device without it, which is illegal. You can't do that, but they did it. And now they have a new patent that basically says they can serve you ads anytime anything plugged into, let's say you've got your PS5 or your Xbox plugged in,
yeah,
right? And you pause your game, an ad's going to come up.
Yeah, they're going to see that your HDMI on your... Presumably this is their TVs, not their boxes, because the boxes won't be able to do that technically. But if you have a Roku TV, it's going to monitor all the HDMI inputs, and if it sees that something on there has stopped, it's going to blank that out, and it's going to start serving you ads instead.
Yep. I'm sure that'll go over well.
Well, kind of like, you know, kind of like a pause screen. Some TVs will do a pause screen. Ostensibly stop burning, that sort of thing, but this will be ads.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, going along with that, there's no point serving ads to people unless you know what ads they want. So presumably at the same time, buried in terms of conditions is something that's going to say, we're going to watch everything you do on your TV so we can serve you better.
That's
ads.
Already there.
Right. So, yeah, it's like, well, we see this a lot in the tech industry, is people start with good products and good ideas, and then as they get bigger, they either need the money or they want the money, and all of a sudden they abuse their relationship with their customers to do things that are customer hostile, that are things that customers are not asking for, in order to improve their bottom line. And this is a particularly egregious example. Now, it's only a patent. We have no idea whether whether they plan to do this, or whether they're thinking, well, here's a good idea and let's patent it so somebody else does it, we get money. But, you know, the point is, it's just completely and utterly terrible to basically say, anytime we think you're not busy with our device, we're going to start serving you ads.
I can tell you that, like I said, I got this Roku TV because I really like their software. I thought they were a pretty cool company, to be honest. And putting aside the last two things that we talked about, my Roku TV, the big one, which is not very old at all, is getting so slow. And I think they're intentionally doing it, thinking I'm going to buy a new one.
Yeah.
And I am, but it ain't going to be a Roku device.
Yeah.
The moment I replace this TV, anything of Roku is gone from my technology life. It's gone. Well,
yeah, absolutely. And you know, taking this to the ultimate extreme, we're going to end up in a situation where people who don't have the technical skills or the know-how or the interest to do anything are going to be stuck with all these devices. That, I mean, the justification always is, well, this keeps them cheap, because if we have ads as a revenue stream, we're cheap. But the second wave of this is, once ads are everywhere, then they start jacking the prices up on the devices as well. So that's not a good excuse. But yeah, what's going to happen is, we're going to end up with a stream where a set of streams where the technical people go out and use a Raspberry Pi or something and build something themselves to plug into their TV to avoid all of this stuff, and then everyone else is stuck with the stuff with the ads.
I think what's going to happen is somebody like Google is going to buy Roku. And
because it's an ad business.
Of course, yes, but of course, if it's Google, that means Roku will go away in about 4 years.
Go away. Yeah, yeah, they'll just kill it off.
How many times does Google get to launch a new product? The latest one, of course, is podcasts, their podcast app. Podcasts have never been more popular than they are right now.
Yep.
And Google's killing it to focus on YouTube TV. How dumb are you?
So what even is YouTube TV?
YouTube TV and YouTube radio, I guess, too. Is basically, if you're in your car and you fire it up, it's kind of like Spotify. You can have playlists and stuff like that. But of course, you're only getting the audio feed.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense to build a new audio product.
It does. Here's why. No,
branding it with YouTube, though, which is a video platform, which everybody knows purely as a thing for watching videos.
No, well, but they're trying to change that. But it makes perfect sense, because the difference between their podcast app and YouTube TV or YouTube radio or whatever you want to call it, audio only, is you have to have your content on their platform. Whereas a podcast can be hosted anywhere and it's just streaming it through. But if you have to put your content on their platform, all of a sudden they have a lot more control. So that's what it's about. It's not about they don't like podcasts. It's that they want to monetize your content.
Yeah, but Spotify have been doing this for a couple of years, and it's not changed the world.
No, Spotify doesn't do that. Spotify still reads RSS feeds, which means the file itself can be hosted anywhere. That's a big difference, David.
But don't they have a bunch of their own podcasts?
Yeah, that's different, though.
But that's the model I'm talking about. Is they're trying to platform their own content in order to get that level of control and monetization. But it's not been hugely successful on Spotify. So I find, especially with Google's track record of, you know, half-heartedly trying something and then cutting it, I find it hard to believe that YouTube audio, which, as I say, terrible branding, it's got YouTube in it, is going to be any better.
No, it won't be. It won't be. No, there's no question about that.
Yeah.
I think it's a dumb... Look, Apple's done it the right way. As many faults as Apple may have when it comes to podcasting, they're the best platform to be on. They just are.
Because they list it, they make it available, and then they leave it alone.
Well, they do promote stuff that they want to promote. They've promoted our stuff in the network in the past. They haven't in years.
Where did they promote it?
Back in the day when it was all about iTunes, you'd go to the podcast tab, and we made the front page a couple times with the My Mac podcast when you were still on that show and with me. But I think TechFan made it once or twice. OWC did. But they kind of didn't update it very often.
Then,
of course, now it's all app-based. There isn't... When I say they're doing it right, they're doing a terrible job of discoverability, because now it's all app-based. It's awful. Finding something new, if you're not actually searching for specifically what you're looking for, it's almost impossible to find anything. It's just an awful experience. And I think a lot of that, though, is the UI and the actual size of the screen. Mm-hmm. But that being said, they allow anybody to, you know, post their content to YouTube. You can submit it and boom, it goes live to Apple.
Yeah.
And they're not injecting ads on top of your content.
No. The podcasts, a lot of podcasts I listen to have started doing that on their own now.
Well, yeah.
They've hooked up with an injection network. It's so annoying.
What I don't like is the podcast apps that don't allow you to skip forward.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't use one of those. I mean, the whole point about having a podcast is that you can move through it yourself. If you're going to have to listen to it streamed out, and you can't move through it, then you might as well listen to the radio.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah,
but that's what's going on, and you know, the thing is, Google will reverse course eventually, and they'll have a new app that's podcast, but of course you'll have to update there and they'll inject ads or some bullshit like that. But they'll eventually get rid of the YouTube TV, YouTube radio, whatever it is, because that's Google's, that's what they do. They launch a product to great fanfare. They update it once. They let it linger on the vine until no one's using it, and then they kill it. Or they wait until people are using it and still kill it with no replacement. They're schizophrenic. That's what they are.
I don't know whether they still do this, but they used to do this thing where, you know, you could spend 20% of your time in your own projects, the downside being that Google owned those projects. And then that's where many of these things came from. I don't know if they still do that now, but the problem is you've got to stick with that. If you decide to launch a big product, you know, Google isn't the only company that does it. Apple is famous for doing this. Big splashy launch of some new feature. Yeah.
It goes
and then
nowhere.
they don't assign engineering resources to keep it going. And so it never gets updated. It doesn't work very well.
And none eventually the new system will break it, and then
yeah,
that's it.
And it's then it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't understand because, well, you'd think people in computer companies would recognize that actually the long tail of supporting something you started is the real cost, not the big engineering effort to get it over the line to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is IT, and yet these companies don't seem to get it.
No, they're just looking at dollars.
Yeah.
That's all they're doing. They're looking at the money, and none of them seem to realize, especially a company like Roku, is that once you go down that path, I'm not saying Roku shouldn't pursue profitability. They absolutely should.
Yeah.
But you don't do it in the way that they've been doing lately. A, you prevent people from suing you, and now, oh, we're just going to throw ads on top of anything because it's our device, it's not your device.
Yeah.
There was a very subtle change to video games from, I think it was Sony or somebody. No. I can't remember who it was now. The terms of you buying a game changed. Now it's you don't own the game. They just give you permission to play it. It's yeah. not your game. And, you know, a lot of the Tin Hat guys came out, this is why you buy physical copies. Except, yes, with older games, but with newer games, you can buy the physical copy, but that doesn't mean it's going to work.
Yeah.
Because if you plug it, you put the disc into your Xbox or, you know, whatever it is, and it tries to connect to a server,
yeah.
That's it. You're done.
Yeah.
This game is no, even if it's a first person, you know, single player, it doesn't matter. They'll just turn off that game so it doesn't work. There's no more updates. Yeah. It can't connect to the server. Nope. You can't play. Yeah. That's one of my problems with the Switch is that if you can't connect to the internet, you can't do anything.
Yeah. And the Steam Deck is much the same.
Yep.
It has some grace periods, but effective. And I went back when I used to Reddit on the Steam Deck forum, there was always people going, well, I don't get it. I installed the game and then I went on a trip and it wouldn't work. And that's because they installed the game, but they hadn't played it before they went on the trip. And the first thing that happens is the Steam Deck, the game needs to talk to Steam to validate itself before it'll start running.
Yep.
And
it couldn't do that, so it won't work.
Yeah. And, you know, I had this, we talked about this a few months ago, where I wanted to play Diablo 4, which, I mean, I knew going in was a server-based game. But, you know, I was in a hotel, I was on the internet. But it wanted to download like a 7 gigabyte patch, you know, on hotel Wi-Fi. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah,
that, you know,
again, first world problems. But hey, well, speaking of Steam Deck, did you pick up the Saboteur like we were talking on the? Because
I have not yet.
No.
It's in my queue to buy, but I will. I will be buying it.
I was hoping that you bought it. And I was wanting to get your impressions.
I wouldn't, even if I bought it, I wouldn't have played it because I don't play my Steam Deck like that. I play through games and then when I'm finished I move on to something else. So at the moment I'm playing that dwarf game that I mentioned last week. And also I'm playing Titanfall 2, which I'm incredibly enjoying. It seems quite short. It looks like I've nearly finished it and I've only been playing about 10 hours or so, but it's been a lot of fun.
That's good.
But that's an old game.
I just, you know, I don't play as much as I would like. I get maybe, well, the Saboteur I've been playing quite a bit lately because it's nostalgia and it's fun and it runs really, although I do find that if I put the Steam Deck to sleep for more than, say, 10 times with the game running, the audio will start screwing up.
Yeah, I have that occasionally with some of my Steam Deck games. But you've got to remember these games were never designed to be paused. And put to sleep, and also they're running on a Linux platform, so there's some sort of bug going on there that cuts. You start getting static or latency in the audio.
That's exactly what it is.
And the only way to fix it is to come out of the game and go back in. Yeah,
yeah. So, I just reboot the whole Steam Deck.
Yeah,
I figure that's good for it, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good games coming up here pretty soon too. I still got the new Mario game that came out like 6 months, 7 months, 8 months ago. Haven't fired it up once yet. I keep meaning to, but then I got, you know, I don't know why I look for the Saboteur on Steam, but I did found it playing it. There goes my Mario time. And then before that, I played Zelda for 6 months. So
I didn't tell you this actually. The last time we went on holiday, I took just my Steam Deck with me, just my Switch Lite with me. That's one of the problems. Even though the Steam Deck's portable, it's a big console. Whereas the Steam Deck, the Switch Lite is so tiny,
so small.
So yeah, so I took the Switch Lite with me
with
a good screen though. Yeah, exactly. I took Super Mario Odyssey, which I'd never played, and that was the big 3D Mario launch title for the Switch. So it's an old game now.
Was it for the Switch or the Odyssey? Yes, that was Switch.
Yeah, it was the one with the hat.
Yep, the hat
powers.
Yep.
So I thought I'm going to play this. Those games are fun. They've got depth. I'll play it. We're away for a week and a half. I'll play that. My son noticed that I had it with me. And he had his Switch with him. He said, can I borrow it for a minute? And he borrowed it. He's already finished the game. He played through the whole thing again. And I didn't get to play it once. Because we actually had the physical cartridge. It wasn't a download.
Right.
And so I couldn't play it because he'd stolen the cartridge from me. And then he started replaying the whole game again. I mean, it says how great a game it is. But it meant that I didn't get to play it because he was playing it.
So you could have bought another one.
Well, we were on a cruise ship. We weren't going to buy anything.
No. Not only that,
I object to buying another copy of the game because he's stolen it from me.
Well, dad problems.
Yeah.
That's just how it is, though.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many games I've bought thinking I'm going to play it, and Cole ends up playing it.
Yeah, I know.
Because he's got an Xbox upstairs, and I got one down here, I'll give you a perfect example is Nintendo. Nintendo is super stingy with user accounts.
Yeah.
And I fire up my Switch and nope, I can't play because he's playing a game.
He's playing it on your account.
Yeah. I should have set him up with his own account years ago, but I didn't because I had a big library and I figured, I'll just sign into my account and he can play my games.
Yeah, that's right. And also as well, you're talking about years ago when he was a real kid.
Yes.
As opposed to a teenager.
Yes.
And you actually wanted to exercise, unlike many people, you want to exercise a little bit of parental control.
Exactly.
So you don't want to give him his own account. And in fact, he probably wasn't even technically allowed to have an account before he was 13. No, not when
he's... I think you got to be a certain age.
Exactly. So, but the problem is, talking about not updating things, you'd have thought having put that rule in that companies like Nintendo would go, when the kids age up to 13, we should allow them to set up a new account and maybe migrate some stuff that you bought from them over. But no, of course, they don't do that.
No, that would make too much sense. Yeah.
But in terms of dealing with the kids stealing your stuff, my plan is to just disinherit them. And then they'll have learnt the lesson by then.
Yes.
Yeah.
Speaking of kids, I'm taking Cole out for driving lessons later today.
I'm taking Alexander out in his car later on.
Yeah, see, there you go. Fair warning to those in West Michigan. Hopefully, I'll get the show posted live before we go out. It's fair warning.
Post it live while you're still alive.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you been in the car with him before?
No, this would be the first time.
Okay. Well,
I did it with all the other kids. So
yeah. So, Alexander, we actually got a car for him, and then he took his test a couple of weeks ago and didn't pass.
Yeah.
Which was kind of rough. His examiner is his. Instructor said afterwards, he said, I know that examiner, she's only been in the job for about a month, and so she's still at the moment a real stickler for things that with a more seasoned examiner they might have told you about it but still passed you, whereas she said no, that's a fail. So he's going to take it again in a few weeks. And in the meantime, yes, I'm taking him out in his car so he gets more practice.
That's how you get good at it.
Yeah, the only problem he has is that his car, it's a manual, and the bite point for the clutch is very different from his instructor's car. So we're getting a lot of stalling at the moment.
Well, that's, that's a thing.
And he's nervous.
Well, there's that. I mean,
he's really nervous.
I wasn't. My dad took me out. There's an industrial park called Fort Custer. It's very packed with, manufacturing and stuff like that nowadays. Is it
packed with Indians?
No, but that is the guy. And there's a military base out there and stuff like that. My dad was stationed at Fort Custer. in the Air Force.
You know, I would not to want to work at a
military I never understood it.
It was named after the military guy who was murdered by the enemy.
Yeah. I was like, wait, this guy was like a colossal failure, and why is this? And it was nowhere near.
And he and his men were slaughtered.
So. Yeah. And he wasn't, let's name he wasn't even him. From here. Why is. I never understood, but whatever. Got me.
Fort Surrender.
Yeah, Fort Surrender. So, Dad would take me out there and teach me how to drive.
Right.
In a 1970 Delta 88, four-door green Oldsmobile. Loved that car. And it became my first car.
Right.
And my dad bought a van that didn't have reverse working in it. That was always fun. He always wanted a van. He got a van, and it didn't last long because it was stupid.
You didn't need. He's always going forward.
So yes, we don't look backwards, son. He'd circle the parking lots that were full, waiting till he could get into a spot where he didn't have to back out of.
Well, of course.
He always said he was going to get the reverse fixed. He never did. Stupid thing. I drove it a few times, and you know, I was young and stupid, and well, you know, he's the one that bought the stupid thing. But you know, I was driving. I remember driving it a few times, and. My friends would have to push me backwards because somebody parked in front of me and I'm screwed.
Yeah. Well, that's manual reverse.
Yes, manual reverse. It's different than a stick shift.
Exactly.
But yeah, it's. Yeah, I love that old Oldsmobile though. So my mom could only use one hand, one arm, because she had a stroke after I was born.
Yeah.
And she had what was called a turning wheel. Do you know what that is?
Yeah.
It goes on this.
Yeah, it's like a handle that goes on the wheel.
Yep. And Dad had put this on her car, on that Oldsmobile. And it had a plastic knob, right? But the plastic knob at some point broke. But my dad had used, because my dad is not mechanically inclined at all on any level. If he can't fix it with duct tape or something, it's
vice
grips, hammer.
If you can't fix it with duct tape, you haven't used enough duct tape, obviously.
Yeah. Well, he had used a hose clamp. You know what a hose clamp looks like,
yeah?
And he had tightened it so tight that he couldn't get it off. And so the plastic broke on it. So now it was just this little razor sharp circle of steel that would cut between my thumb and forefinger all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, fun times. Having something sharp on the wheels, nothing remotely dangerous about that.
No. Well, to be fair, it was the 80s. You know how I lost that car? I was trying to show off for these girls. We were driving through this neighborhood. I was going uphill, and I was doing about 80, and I threw it into low drive.
Right. And
I didn't make it up the hill.
Did the gearbox just...
Yeah, everything just underneath me kind of exploded. The drive shaft, U-joints broke, and... Then the car started going backwards. Like an idiot, because I couldn't put the car in reverse because, you know, the transmission is now shot. I yelled at everyone to get out of the car. So everyone bailed out of the car as it's rolling backwards down a hill, goes up onto this lawn, and it's still moving. And at the end of the lawn is a wall below that leads to a brand new Camaro sitting there in someone's driveway.
Right.
It was the last second I got it to stop. Behind the car.
Yeah.
And the girls laughed, and I never dated either one of them. Stupid.
They'd seen you blow up in front of them. Nobody wants to
date
that.
In the car. They were in the car.
Yeah, no, but they'd seen you have performance problems right in front of them. Nobody wants to date that.
Yep. Performance. That was what it was.
Yeah.
One of them I've stayed friends with over the years on Facebook and stuff. And every great once in a while, I'll see her in a store and we'll talk. And every great once in a while, she'll bring that up. Remember when your car rolled? Yeah, I remember.
Yeah. I was there.
I remember. Anyways, you see that Amazon's finally giving up on the whole, they're just walking out now. You know, Amazon opened these physical stores where you just go in and you shop and then you just walk out with the stuff.
When you go through the gate, you have to scan.
That's not how it worked.
I went to one of these stores.
So did
you
I.
To, you had to scan with your cart with your Amazon account to get through so it knew who you were.
Oh yeah, that. But I'm just saying
you didn't scan the individual items. You just basically picked everything up and then put it in a bag and walked out with it.
Yep.
And then, I tried this at the one in Chicago just for you know, fun.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people complained that what would happen is they'd walk out the store and they wouldn't get the receipt for like 4 hours.
Yep. Well, you know why?
Well, it turns out that actually there was no... This sums up Tech Bros in a nutshell, this.
Yes.
Yeah. Because most of us will come up with a feature, we'll get it working and then launch it. But the tech companies don't do that. It's just like, oh, it doesn't work. So what we'll do is we'll hire 1,000 people in India who basically will watch all the cameras and will manually toss up what you've got.
Yes.
Like a remote cashier
halfway around
the world.
Yes.
Yeah. And then, and of course, that's why. And apparently the tech was so... was so bad at seeing what you were doing, because they had cameras everywhere and sensors and this, that and the other, but because it was such a difficult job, even today 70-80% of all transactions in these stores had to be manually verified by somebody in this far off human outsource, and Amazon finally decided that wasn't a good model, so they've stopped doing it.
Could you imagine a worse job in the world? Your job is to watch people shop and write down what they're buying.
I'm probably the one where you've got to check for horrible content on social media is probably worse, but that only just. Mind-numbingly boring, which is why you've got to pay very low-pay workers in third world countries to do it, because nobody else would do it, and it won't be cost-effective to do it anywhere else. Because
when they first rolled this out, I thought, oh, okay, the cameras see what you're picking up and it knows what the products look like. Yeah. And
these shots were festooned with cameras. There was cameras on behind the shelves.
Yeah, I thought it was 100% automated.
Well, that's
and I was like, well, that sounds cool. Or they had some kind of NFS chip and everything.
Yeah, and that's the way they portrayed it in the media. And it turns out, you know, I've worked on projects. I worked on a very big project once where we were having arguments with the provider of the service about how they were. Well, I was doing technical assurance, so we were saying, well, you know, these technical details you're doing in to meet this requirement are not going to work. And I remember one of the head up program managers of this company who had been paid a lot of money said, look, it's a service. We can do it however we want. As long as we deliver to the service level, I can have a guy sat in an office running Excel, doing it all on a spreadsheet, and you've got no right to tell me whether that's right or wrong, which wasn't really true. But effectively, that is the mindset in development sometimes now. And, you know, who knows? We were complaining before about Google turning services off. Maybe it's because some of them are operated by huge fleets of people in a call center somewhere, and it doesn't make economic sense to keep them going. Maybe it's the same problem. But this is astonishing, because they really sold this service as, look, we've invented some new technology.
The future of shopping, physical shopping.
Which is basically, what they did is they took your cash register attendant and they gave them a video feed and had them creepily watch. I mean, that's the other thing is it was always a little bit creepy thinking there was all these cameras watching you shop. But you thought, well, at least it's only computers. They're only capturing data. Now it turns out, no, it was a bunch of dudes.
Yep.
You know, watching everything you did in their stores. So if you scratch your backside or pick your nose, they were probably laughing at that as well.
Yes. Oh, there's no question. That's the only benefit of the job. It's the only thing that they enjoyed. And you know they had a highlight reel.
I was going to say, surprised none of this has ever ended up in YouTube. Guess it might do now they've all been fired. But, just astonishing that... And the thing is, it's not completely gone away. Because I think some of they've stopped doing this for the Amazon Fresh stores.
Yeah.
But they have some other stores. I think Amazon Go or something like that, which sell.
It's all a matter of time.
Which sell Amazon products as well as groceries and things. And apparently it still works there, but which means that presumably there's some people still being employed to do this. I wouldn't go in one now.
Well, I went in one once, and I think mine was in Chicago. But yeah, I would never. I don't know. Look, let's be honest. Every store you go into has cameras. But yeah. My thought was always, okay, there's for as many cameras are in here, for as many employees are in here, and how many customers are in here. You got one person trying to watch 50 people. I mean,
yeah,
it's unattainable.
Well, I don't. To be honest with you, I don't know why they even bother with the cameras, because they don't stop people from stealing stuff anymore. Just let them walk out. The security guards are told not to engage with somebody walking out with stuff.
Did I ever dangerous. Tell you my story about that?
Go on.
So I was at a place called Perry Drug. Walgreens.
Mm-hmm.
And they had an auto parts department in there, too, and that's the part that I worked in. But every now and then, yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
I'm going to go and get my penicillin and a starter for my 350 Chevy.
That's right. I need some hemorrhoid cream, so I better get a new muffler.
It was the 80s, to be fair. That's what it was. So every now and then, and they had the aisles for whatever time of the year, Halloween aisle, Christmas aisle, they had those. So, and they had growth. It was basically Walgreens with an auto parts store stuck to it. That's what it was.
That's so weird.
It's, yes. Looking back, obviously, very weird. But again, it was the 80s and everybody was experimenting.
I need some antiperspirant. I better get air freshener for the car as well.
Yep. That's exactly right. So I get tapped every now and then to go on shoplifting duty, which was so boring because it was awful. Because
you had to steal from your own store.
Yeah. We had people that was doing that already. That position was filled. So you'd have to climb up into these rafters and look through these glass tiles as one-way glass. And they were strategically positioned all over.
Too cheap for cameras, so they put them in the roof. Dude,
still, it was the 80s. So you're above the insulation. And the sun's beating on this tar roof, and you're just up there just sweating your ass off.
You're in the suspended seat.
Yes.
And what were you meant to do? If you saw a shoplifter, you were meant to come down like Batman.
Well, you were supposed to radio someone. So my boss was the guy that I was supposed to radio, and he was supposed to help me or do the job himself, apprehend the thief and detain him for police. His name was Mike. And Mike, at the time, was probably 380 pounds.
Right.
He looked like a weeblo. Love the guy. He's great. I'm still friends with him on Facebook. And he was the one that hired me. And it was kind of repayment because my dad had hired him many years ago at another auto parts store. So he was returning the favor. And Mike was fantastic, but he's not fast on his feet. So I'm looking through, and it's Halloween time, right? The Halloween stuff is out. And I see these two Mexican guys come in. And this isn't people, you can't say Mexican. They were Mexican. And one of them was a big dude, right?
Right.
And I see him. But muscly, a big guy.
Yeah.
And I see him stuff a rubber mask down his pants. He's stealing a mask. And of course, I get all excited. I tell Mike over the radio, we got one, blah, blah, blah. And I scamper out of the roof, climb down the ladder, and I go out where the guy's now heading out towards the door. And we have this little glass vestibule. You can go left or right. I figure Mike is now, at this point, outside waiting.
Yeah.
And we're going to trap this guy. Mike totally was not outside waiting. So I go out this door, and this guy towers over me, right? And he sees me, and he makes a break for it. But I'm smaller and quicker, so I catch him. And as he's going out the second set of doors, these are not automated doors. These are, you push them open. Yeah. I grab him by the back of his shorts / belt. I remember he had a belt on.
Yeah.
And I'm holding on for dear life. Now, quite honestly, he could have just turned around and smacked me in the face, and that would have been the end of it. Because he, like I said, he's a big guy. But I was, 16 years old. I was a scrapper. I'm not taking this stuff. And, I've got a thief and I'm righteous and all that BS. And I'm not letting go. And he's basically bouncing off the door frame side to side.
Yeah.
bang, 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 and I'm not letting him go. And I pull him back a little bit, and he hits the edge of the door and hits his head on it, and I pull him back again. He falls down. I grab on top of him, and I wrap my arm around his neck. Again, this is the 80s. And drag him back into the store, at which point Mike comes up and sees what's going on. And he had some lame excuse why he didn't come to help. And so, you know, we get this guy in the back room. What I didn't know, a girl named Sissy was working the cash register.
Yeah.
And all the customers, there was like a line of like six people in line, are just slack jawed looking.
Yeah.
And one lady said, "I'm never shoplifting here." So we get this guy in the back, right?
Yeah, but you know what the bad thing about this story is you've got to retrieve that mask from the front of his pants.
Nah, it fell out when the whole kerfluffle. And so we get him in the back, and the cops come.
It was a Halloween mask, was it?
Yes. I don't remember what the mask was. It was like a gorilla or something, zombie. A
human centipede?
Well, would have been appropriate.
Yeah, exactly.
And so the cops show up, right?
Yeah.
And he's sitting in our break room because we didn't have like a room to put him in. So he's sitting at the break room. And he, again, great big dude, right?
Mm.
And he says, he starts complaining to the cop that I beat him up. And the cop looks at this guy and looks at me and points at me. And he goes, "Yeah, that guy." Looks back at this guy and he's like, "Yeah, right. He's half your size." And, of course, I was indignant. I didn't say anything. I was smart enough. Yeah. But I was like, "Well, I did. I kicked his ass. What the hell?" That's my shoplifting story.
Well, he was Mexican, so he needed the mask for Nacho Libre.
Yeah. I've never been comfortable about stealing.
No.
You know? Forget it. Put the moral thing aside. But I stole once when I was a little kid. My dad used to save these 50-cent pieces. And I took one. And it bothered me to no end for months and months after that until I finally confessed.
Hmm.
And my dad said, "Yeah, I know you took one."
So I have my drugstore story. As you know, I've been to San Francisco several times for work conferences. And the last time I was there, as you also know, round where the conference center is in San Francisco, for some reason, there is a very high concentration of drugstores. There's Walgreens literally on every corner.
Yep.
So I was at the Walgreens around the corner, and I'm buying my stuff. I was buying some chips and some soda and this, that, and the other. And I'm lining up to pay, and they have one of those Disney-like, you know, snake lines where you're waiting for the cashiers, right? And obviously, since COVID, this was post-COVID, everybody knows that there's been a huge problem, particularly in San Francisco, with theft, where the homeless people just come in and take what they want. And as I was saying before, a lot of the security guards have been told not to intervene and this, that, and the other. This guy is at the counter. He has this big pile of stuff. You know, and you don't want to judge a book by his cover, but he kind of looked like he might be homeless. You know, he had that kind of scruffy, dirty look about him, but some people are like that, you know. The thing is, he could barely string a sentence together, presumably because he'd had quite a lot to drink.
He partaked that day.
Yes, exactly. And he was really angry, and he was shouting at the cashier, and it was because he was trying to pay with that American Express Platinum card. And they clearly stolen. And she wouldn't process the transaction because, you know, obviously it wasn't his card. And he was getting so angry. And this is disgusting. And it's just like, you know, if you look homeless, don't try and use American Express Platinum. It doesn't go, you know, to buy $40, $50 worth of bits and pieces. And yeah, he got really mad. And eventually they had to ask him to leave.
This is... it's sad that it comes to that, though.
It is.
It's not good for the society that we live in.
Yeah, obviously there are a lot of problems with... to be honest with you, it saddens me that in countries with the riches that we have compared to other parts of the world, that we have people who have to live on the streets. You know, it really does. And you know, we like to talk about all these fancy gadgets and stuff on this show, but actually, you know, countries that can afford for people to have you know, fancy electronics and this, that, and the other. Should not have people sleeping on the street. Should not have people who can't eat. But there we go again. What are you going to do? This, the world we live in, unfortunately.
You know, one of the things that I've been addicted to lately, because, you know, I subscribe, I guess, I hate that so much, to Photoshop. And they have the new AI stuff in there, and I like playing with it sometimes.
Yep.
And I was playing with it one day, and kind of got bored, so I went to look for some photos online to, you know, play with. But I had Facebook open, and I thought, I wonder if there's anything, you know, like editing photos on Facebook. And I found a group, and I'm kind of addicted to it now, called Free Photoshop Edits. And it's the original, because they even put it in their name, original. And people will post photos, and they want things done. Like the last one I did this morning was, someone posted, could someone help restore this image of my aunt who passed away, please? Thank you. And it's a very reddish photo. It doesn't, you know, you could tell it was probably taken 40 years ago, scanned in, and it's got that red hue to it, because that happens to old photos. Mm-hmm. And then when you scan them in, it looks even worse. And I cleaned it up. Somebody, a couple of other ones did, but quite honestly, mine looks way better than everybody else's. You could tell that I spent a little bit more time than they did. I spent maybe 5 minutes, but for me, it's just playing with Photoshop. But I will say it's one of the funnest groups out there, because especially the ones that get thousands of comments, because people will just destroy these photos.
Yeah.
You know, and some of them are like, can you make me, like, there's one right now, there's a guy in a canoe, but he's in a grass field. And it says, guys, I'm scared of water, so please edit this photo of mine and put it in a river ocean. There's 9,000 comments.
Yeah.
And like...
It's like a roast.
Yeah. Oh, and it's... Yeah, that was a movie that someone made that there's a shark after him.
Right.
Some of these are so clever. Yeah. They're so good.
There used to be a guy on Twitter.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, who would take these requests, and basically he would do, he would make jokes out of the responses in terms of what he would do to the photo. So like he would say, oh, can you make me look, somebody would say, here's a picture of me with my girlfriend, can you make me look more attractive? And so he would put a mask of a bear or something over and go, here you go. And it was all stuff like that. It was very, very funny. But of course, I don't do the madness anymore, so I don't know whether he's still on there.
Yeah, I'm sure he is, but...
Yeah.
So I'm looking at some of the replies. Like, one of them is him and, like, they shrunk him in the boat and put him in a bottle of water. Some of them are... They actually look pretty real. My favorite, though, I think, and it says too soon, and it's the whole Baltimore Bridge thing, the collapse, and then he's there.
He's there. Well, he's not the bridge.
He's paddling next to the container ship.
Yeah.
One of them, he's going down a toilet. it's just, you know, one of them's a Loch Ness Monster. Is there?
Is this a Facebook group?
Facebook group, yeah. Look for, here, I'll send you a link to it. It's so good.
Yeah.
I don't do the funny stuff on there. My skills aren't good enough, to be honest.
Yeah.
But one of them, this morning, I've got like 1,000 likes or something. The guy is sitting there next to like this guy in the gorilla, and his request is, could someone please put me next to a real Sasquatch? And my reply was, well, since there's no such thing, I think you nailed it already. Yeah. There's no such thing as a Sasquatch, bud.
Oh, no, there is. He lives next to me. Guy next to me.
Yeah.
He likes
everything but torsos.
No, you know that video, the famous that was presumed was found to be fake video of the Bigfoot shambling across the clearing.
Yeah? I sent you a link, by the way.
Yeah. All right, thanks. The guy who lives next to me walks just like that. He's got the, you know, the arms are hanging at the sides, and he's got that shambling walk.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we call him Bigfoot. Not too
close. I love this group, though. Yeah. I really do. I have fun doing some of the stuff, but more importantly, I have fun looking at some of these comments, some of the creativity of these people well, do is that, just...
But that's the thing, isn't it? You know, we're seeing this rise in AI, and some of these AI image generators are quite incredible what they can do.
Oh, I could tell some people are using those, no question.
Yeah, yeah, but the problem is that AI is never going to have the humor that somebody manually doing something like that is going to be. And what could happen is in 25 years' time, programs like Photoshop will have disappeared because... To edit photos, what you will do is you'll load up the photo and then you'll tell the computer what you want it to do to it, and the computer will do it for you. And then nobody will have those skills, or very few people. And you lose, it just goes to demonstrate, you lose the creativity if you don't have the human spark, the imagination to see if something different, because all of these computer programs are all doing what they've seen before. I mean, that's how they're designed. They're riffing on what they've seen before, what they've been trained on. And, you know, they're not going to be trained on making smart comics about Bigfoot.
It's,
you know, it's a tragedy.
It's groups like this that restore my faith in humanity.
Yeah.
That people actually still have.
Well, it's humor. Well, particularly nowadays, it's good to find humor on the internet rather than people just shouting at each other. So,
you see, Apple has updated their terms of service, and it looks like they're going to allow emulators now.
The reason I want, you and I both put this in the notes. The reason that I wanted to bring this up is that I have experience of this before. There used to be an app on, I don't know if it's still there, but it used to be an app for a long time on that I had on my iPad called iDOS.
Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
but
had
the problem. It. Yeah, and we were all mystified why Apple ever let it on the App Store, because it seemed to fly in the face of the rules.
Yep.
But the reason they got away with it is because the way they'd implemented the program meant it was virtually impossible to actually get any data into and out of it. So you couldn't load games onto it because it was so hard to get software into the application to actually run it. And I worry that Apple has, you know, in their kind of their mood at the moment, which is to pseudo comply with these regulations, but actually do it in such a way that it means that it doesn't really make any big material change. I suspect what Apple have done here is said, yeah, you can run all the emulators you want, but any software that goes into the emulator needs to go through us, approved by us, and you pay 30%, which means nobody's going to do it, because that is the Apple of today. Because, you know, they are petulantly compliant, I think, is their approach nowadays. It's the, you know, they've created a monster of their own manufacture by being very arrogant for many, many years. And now regulators are coming for them, and they're continuing with that attitude, which is, we're going to do the bare minimum and comply with the spirit of these regulations, with the letter of these regulations, not the spirit. And, charge everybody everything so nothing changes and hope it all goes away. And I think this will be the same. I saw loads of articles across the tech press going, oh, here's the best controllers to use with an emulator now and all this sort of thing. I'm thinking they're not going to let unlicensed software into these emulators.
No.
You know, and so that means that you can run the emulator, you can't load any software into it. So what's the point?
Yeah,
so,
that's going to be key.
I think that's actually what's going to happen here, is that they're going to let the emulators run, but they won't let you load any software in. They will lock that out, and they will ban the apps if they try and open up a channel for you to load a ROM into them.
Yep.
So, you know,
it's kind of a non-starter, I think.
Yeah. So people will go, oh, Apple, you're not, can, you know. And,
but here's
and
the go, thing, well, though. Who, at this point in time, it's 2024, right? Who gives a shit on running emulators on your iPhone or iPad? Seriously.
That's the thing. There are loads of alternatives. So,
well, and anybody who wants to do it already has all this stuff on something.
Yeah, I know. I know. But there are some people who are desperate to play the very first Legend of Zelda game on their iPhone on the bus on the way to work.
Well,
and you know, and they feel they should be allowed to do that.
That is true. On our last episode, Hybrids. Podcast 504, we talked about HP wanting you to subscribe to print. Yeah. Remember that?
We did.
Listener and friend of mine, Donnie Yankolo, used to be a contributor at MyMac.com. Very talented artist, too. He's a teacher, and one of the classes he teaches is on podcasting. I actually did an interview with his students many years ago. And he recently invited me back on with this new round of students now and to do kind of an interview with them. And I said, sure, we just haven't been able to, you know, get together because, you know, the stuff that's been going on. But he did write us an email about the inkjet thing. Do you want to read it or do you want me to?
You read it because they're not coming up in the notes.
Gotcha. It says, hey guys, thought I'd chime in on the printer generic ink conversation. For the most part, I'd agree that generic ink is fine. However, it's not exactly the same as name brand ink. I used to teach digital photo class and we use a Canon wide format printers. To save money, I brought generic ink one time. Not only did the ink not last as long, but the quality was inferior to the true Canon ink. I saw it and students saw it. So for everyday printing, generic ink works fine. However, there are some situations that I think the name brand ink is worth the money. I've also recently switched from being a longtime Canon printer user to an Epson EcoTank printers. I have one at home and one at school, and the quality is fantastic. I bought a similar Canon printer, and the quality was awful. That's all for now. Talk to you soon, Donnie. So, as someone that used to work in IT, and specifically in a graphic house, I also am very familiar with the big Epson and Canon wide format printers. Mm-hmm. And you did have to go with their ink. I don't think there's inherently anything better about their ink. I just think the delivery system is the problem.
Yeah.
And a lot of these printers, even way back in the day, would recognize generic ink and real ink and would actually do a worse job printing. I think that was a feature that they built into these systems. They purposely made it so they wouldn't print as well because they knew you weren't using their ink.
And you know what? I don't think they should change the way the printer operates depending on the ink. But I don't have a problem with printer companies saying, well, we recognize our cartridges, and the printer will complain if you don't give our cartridge, put it our cartridge in, you know. And yeah, I completely agree. Is that not all generic inks are good? Some of them are terrible. Some of them are cheap rubbish, just like anything else. The problem is that what the printing manufacturers are trying to do now is take that choice away. Because some people will say, well, you know, I can live with a bad quality and the documents I'm doing doesn't matter and it saves me a fortune. And other people will, like Donnie's, will say, well, actually, we need the quality and so we have to pay the prices. There's two problems with it. First of all, is they want to take that freedom away. They want to basically make you subscribe to their printer ink. And then also, as we've seen, some of these companies are now saying, well, actually, what we'll do is we won't charge you per cartridge or we won't charge you a monthly fee. We'll charge you per print. And if you exceed that, you've got to pay more money. And nobody wants that. Then the other thing is that you should have a choice. You shouldn't be compelled to buy their ink. And they certainly should not degrade the quality of their of the printers or perhaps even stop them from printing at all because it doesn't detect a DRM chip in these things.
Yep. But
you know,
there are differences in ink too. Let's not kid ourselves. Cheap ink is cheap. I mean,
but you know, we should have the right to use cheap stuff or expensive stuff. We shouldn't, you know, because the other thing they could do is, hey, here's a good, and I think this is the way, to be fair, Epson are going with their EcoTank printers. They've separated the printer ink reservoir from the printer head.
Yep.
And so now you only buy the tanks, which means they're cheaper, right? If they bring the price of the ink down, more people will buy the real stuff.
I think people are inclined to get the name brand quality.
Exactly.
Because
but only if it's not double the price.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't make sense if it costs a whole lot more. Same thing is in the automotive industry. You know, customers will bring in parts that they got cheap online, and then, you know, garages at first would do that, but then they stopped doing that because the parts they were buying were garbage, and then they come back thinking that someone screwed something. It's not working right. It's because you bought a shit product. Yeah. I'm sorry, if we're going to install this starter in your car, we're not going to use this junk starter. We're going to order one that's going to have a warranty that we know is going to, for the most part, work.
The other thing as well, the frustrating thing about the printer industry is there's been this race to the bottom.
Yes, so you for can a long print time.
Up, you get a new inkjet printer for $30, right? And the difficulty is, if you've paid $30 for a printer, you're going to be very, very disinclined to spend $60 on new cartridges for it.
That's right. You're just going to throw away the printer and buy a new printer. You're just going to throw away
the printer and start again, yeah. And that's the problem. So I think the other thing the printer companies could do is charge a relatively respectable price for the printer. Yeah, and then it doesn't feel like you're getting ripped off by the ink, because that's the ink is double the cost of the printer.
Yeah, it's a cash 22 there, no question.
Yeah.
So, yeah. David, with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of Tech Fan. Donnie, we do appreciate the feedback. If you guys would like to contribute and send us an email, it's real easy to do. It's theshow@techfanpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook under Tech Fan Podcast. And, of course, we're all on all of the major podcast platforms. David, as always, real fun, and we'll see you next week for our Geeks Pub.
See you then.